We got a surprise. I love going to these military graduations, and I've been to several. It just brings about, it just does something to me that everybody ought to, whether you got anybody there or not, you ought to go and see see what's going on in military graduations. But we were all lined up and RSVP, is that what that is? RSVP'd for TJ's graduation, and then we got a surprise from Levi. And plus, I tell you what, we had a day yesterday. It was conflicting with dedicating Oscar McGill's, my buddy that went to Guatemala with me. He wanted us to come to dedicate his home, so we were involved in that too. We had two or three things going on, and I apologize for not being able to be there. But by the way, Oscar's concern, and you can appreciate this. Oscar's, I get the message, ladies. I understand sign language. All right, that ought to make it snow in here. So, Oscar's property is beside his daddy's, just as far as from here, it's across the road. And his new home, he dedicated his new home, and he showed us through it. Nice place. And these people come over from Guatemala. Reuben, Ashley came not exactly legal. So if it's not exactly legal, what is it? But he's a citizen now. He got things right. And got married after he'd had a few grandkids. That's about time, right? Reuben was in California, and he crossed over from Mexico, from Guatemala to Mexico to California, and he crossed over, and he was very hungry. He's like starving to death. He ain't starving to death now. But he went up to a food truck, you know, this food truck thing, and he ordered one of everything they had, and they handed it to him, and he took off running. That, he's weeping when he told that story. He said, I don't know who to pay back. How to do it, you know. That's some of them things you can't reverse, but he got everything right now. And bought a brick home in Collins in Fort Payne, and from there he's renting it to his brother. And now he's got a farm on Sand Mountain in Henniger, near Henniger. So that's sort of the American dream, doing it the right way, ain't it? I mean, you just have to appreciate that. And his sons are doing real well working, and they're American citizens. So here's what was wonderful to me, and just a little preliminary here. He showed us through the house, showed us to the master bedroom, and then he showed us a room over here in the master bedroom that it wasn't a closet. It was like another smaller room. And he said, here's where we're going to meet and pray and read the Bible. And I thank God for that. He said, Daddy and Mama's getting older. And he said, I'm giving them a key to this place. And they can live in their place and my place and their place and my place. And they can go and come, and they can just live with us if they want to, as long as they want to. That's a good thing to do now. You know, people forget. They forget a lot of times where they came from. They forget their raisin. And I've heard also said, if people get a little money in their pocket, sometimes they forget their raising. I know me. I know how I was raised here. And I know how some of you were raised here. And we got a lot to be thankful for. We sure do. We should never presume upon the blessings of God. Presume. I'll use that word again. Probably it means take careless advances against the truth, presuming on the blessings of God, presuming on the grace of God. And when you do that, you sort of misplace God. You misplace, displace, and disregard God when you presume upon His goodness and righteousness and blessings, and come to a place where you think you've the person comes to the place to where they think they've made it on their own. Because we have not. It's His blessings and His providence that's been in our lives. So Levi, I was going down the road coming in from wherever I was. I was down to the hospitals in Gadsden, and I come up Highway 11. By the way, I went and ate some of the best stew I've ever ate in my life, Terry, with cornbread and onions. I know you don't, that don't jive with you, but one day it will. And she even sent the pot home with me. Yeah. So anyway, I was up Highway 11 there, and I called Levi because we was planning on going up there because he's not maybe going to get to come home till Christmas. And they didn't give him any convalescence for his hurt knee, but that's okay because he's better now. He's back totally released, totally back full stream. So I called him and I said, we're planning to come and see you, Levi. He said, where are you? He calls his mama, where are you? When are you coming home? Ben does that. He's not here, but Ben said, where are y'all at? Don't matter where we are. What are y'all doing? It don't matter what we're doing. When you're coming home, it don't matter when we're coming home. That's what teenagers do to their parents. Why can't parents do to their teenagers? So he said, I'm driving up the road, Levi. I said, we're planning on coming. We may take a Sunday off here before long, if that's okay. If it's not, we'll be back here Sunday morning. But it's a long way up there. And so we're going to go up there and spend a weekend with him in Oklahoma. And so he said, what are you doing? I'm driving up the road. He said, is anybody with you? I said, no, Levi. He said, is anybody listening to you? Thinking, that sounds like somebody with Alzheimer's. Anybody listening to me? I said, I hope you are, Levi. I'm in the car by myself. He said, I'm coming home Friday for 10 days. So, that conflicted a little bit. I had to swear on the Bible that I would not tell anybody. And so did Andrea. She told her. Kathy didn't know. And I said, Kathy, we'll use this little breakfast room right here and get it all ready where we can sit there. I do a lot of studying there and get my books out of the way. And we'll get everything squared away. I said, I got something going on Saturday morning early. And I said, she said, well, what is it? I said, Kathy, in the pastorate, there's some things I can't talk about. But we got something going on. And I said, you don't even have to get up if you don't want to. If I see it's okay, it's going to be early, and I'll come and get you if it's okay for you to come in there. And she said, who are you bringing into my kitchen? I said, Kathy, I can't talk about it. So he come in yesterday. His flight was canceled, and he came in yesterday about the time we were leaving to go to Oscar's and hugged his mama and took off to Dog Town. I was in the shower, didn't even get to see him. I almost cried. But I'll see him before it's over with. But anyway, sometimes we take these things for granted and we presume upon the grace of God, presumptuousness on the grace of God. Like the idea is taking advances, making moves and not considering God and just taking a chance on something, a stepping out of line. That's a dangerous thing to do. And you're sort of on your own when you step out of line. You're somewhat on your own when you step out of line. In Isaiah chapter number 16, this is a wonderful verse. I'm just going to read it and then turn over to Ezekiel chapter 16. But we've been talking about how God loves us. Now listen, let me prep this. We've been studying, we have been actually studying the priestly connection, the Aaronic priesthood represented Jesus. Everything about the great high priest, his uniform and clothes, represented what Jesus is to us. And on his breastplate were four rows of threes of precious stones. And on all one of each of those stones, there was a name of Israel put down, one of the tribes of Israel. Judah, Levi, Simeon, all those, Zebulun, Naphtali, all of them were represented on the breastplate. And you know, there was two stones, ephod on his shoulders, that had their names on it too. And that represents the strength that we have in Christ Jesus. We're on his shoulders. He's carrying us. Praise the Lord for that. And then on his, not only are we on his, relying on his strength, we're relying on his love, because it says that's going to, the breastplate, and it says those stones were placed near his heart. We're on his heart. And that's love, friends. We're forever bound. They had golden chains that were and laces of blue that were heavenly and deity, that were binding that breastplate on that priestess breast. And we're represented through that. We're represented in heaven with our great high priest, who not only gives us strength, but gives us love. Now, the great high priest could go in, Aaron and his sons that followed him, to represent us, and they could have it on their external, but it wouldn't be on their internal. They might have been thinking about going fishing when they went in there to offer a sacrifice. But not Jesus, because it's not only on him, it's not just physical, but it's inward love that he has for us. And we do not need to presume on God's benefits and blessings and his love to us. And I'll tell you why we'll get us in trouble. Now, I'm just going to read this verse. I want to do this whole message if I can. Isaiah 16, verse 1. We just preach a message right here. Send ye the lamb. What? Hey, the lamb needs to be sent everywhere, right? Now, this is talking about a message and a ruler. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land of Selah, to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. Send the lamb to Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Now, all I'm wanting you to look at right now, as a wandering bird cast out of the nest. Help us, Lord. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We got little birds on our porch. I know down here at the side entrance, those little birds that build them mud nests were there, and we finally, hopefully, got rid of them. I liked them. My kids used to watch them every year. Every year we'd watch those birds. They'd have babies, and they'd have like two litters. I don't know if it's the same family. One moved out, one moved in. But those birds, we could hear them chirping, and the mom would be sitting up there. And then there would be a time when those little birds were looking over at my kids, and my kids were looking at them, and we had such a time. And then there'd be a time when they got kicked out of the nest, and they had to make it on their own. And here's what we just said, as a wandering bird that's cast out of its nest. That's what I want you to think about, being cast out. I realized that just recently that it was found down Forest Avenue, I believe it was, at the funeral home on Forest, I believe it was, on Forest Avenue going into Alabama City. There's a funeral home, and they realized that somebody had put a little baby dead in one of the hearses. They found a dead baby, and a mama had cast that baby out and put that dead baby in that hearse, and they found her. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know. All I know is they got her now. I believe that's right. And she cast her baby out. I hear of babies that have been put in garbage cans and dumpsters. I've heard of babies just laying around. They'll take babies and put them at the fire station and just leave them. And you know, that beats putting them somewhere else. If you're going to get rid of them, put them at a hospital or somewhere. Don't destroy them. Don't leave them out there by themselves. But the way that bird was, he was totally on his own. Now there's another verse that's got the word cast in it, and it's in chapter 16 of Ezekiel. And it says in verse 4, and as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. No, I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy persons in the day that thou wast born. Thou wast cast out in the open field. People back then, my friends, were so depraved as they are now. They're even worse now because they kill their babies now. Back then, a woman would find herself with child, and in her whoredoms, she would not want that child. It would just be in the way. So she would take that child when she was having that baby. She would either get to the out in the wilderness, whatever, on the hillside or wherever, and have that baby and get up and walk off and leave it on its own. And there's the idea. And God says, this is the way I found Israel. And I'm going to tell you something else. This is the way that He found us. And you ought to never presume on God's love for you, my friends. I like to talk about that a little bit longer if I can. I don't really know where to begin. Now, there's seven covenants in the Bible. There's seven dispensations. Dispensations are segments of time throughout the history of mankind whereby God deals with His people in a different way. There's this dispensation of innocency, and it starts with Adam because he was innocent till he was proven guilty. Then there's a dispensation of conscience. Then there's a dispensation of human government, and on and on and on to the millennial kingdom, how God deals with His people. But there's something called the covenants, and there's about seven of them. And the first one is the Adamic covenant that put the curse on us. There's a Noahic covenant that had the promises. And then there's the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant, which was an unconditional covenant that God made with Abraham. God told Abraham unconditionally, I will make of thee a great nation. God did that to America. He made a great nation here. That is an unconditional covenant. No requirements on the second party, on the recipient. All the requirements goes on the one that is going to commit. And that's God. And with the Abrahamic covenant, He said, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to do it. Our covenant with Jesus is He saves us. We're saved. He did that. Not us. It's an unconditional love covenant, a love covenant where God sent His Son to die for us without any requirements on our hands, simply to receive the salvation that God has to offer. An unconditional covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. And the covenant of grace. We're saved by grace, not by works. But there's also not only a covenants that are unconditional, like with the Abrahamic covenant. God said, I'll do this. But there's a covenant that is conditional on both parties. And that is the Palestinian covenant. The Palestinian covenant, when God got Israel ready to walk across the Jordan into the promised land, He said, you're going to go across and this land is yours, but there's a conditional covenant on your part because you've got to live right or I'm going to punish you. There it is. You understand. God saves you. Then it's up to you to live in the parameters of being blessed by God. You got to live right to be blessed right. I'd rather be living right, not facing much chastisement, is presuming on God and the grace of God and be expecting chastisement. I remember my mama would spank me, but she said, when your daddy gets home, I didn't mind a spanking from my mama. But when that daddy gets home, that put troubles on my conscience. There wasn't no need to whoop me. I'd done been beat down myself. Israel, this whole chapter here is about the nation of Israel. There's a lot of verses here. There's no way we'll cover it. There's just 63 verses. No way. We're just going to scan it. But he found, God found Israel, and he found us. And let's read. See, Israel, let me back up just a minute. Israel had presumed upon the goodness of God, and they had got wayward. They took their eyes off of God and put their eyes on themselves. God had made them beautiful. The whole world, the world around Israel, saw Israel as the most beautiful example of what it means to have a God that helps you. The whole world was envious of a God that they didn't have to sacrifice their babies to. But he sacrificed his son for us. And Israel began to look at their beauty. See, God decked them. They were beautiful. Like a beautiful lady in her virginity and in her dress and her diamonds and her hood piece, headpiece and her garments. If you read this chapter, you'll see that God just decked them out. He uses Israel as an example as a young lady that is just beautiful and gorgeous. And instead of this, instead of glorying in the reason they were beautiful and the person behind this, they gloried in their own beauty and what they were instead of what he is. I just want to read verse 15, get ahead of myself, come back. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty and playest the harlot because of thy renown and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. Now that's all I'm going to read right there. The other nations were very envious, and they were very powerful. They were provided for. They were provided for. They were very rich. They were a very beautiful nation. And they thought it would be okay, you can read this, to play around and step in an adventurous direction, presuming on the goodness of God, to just get into the world and let the world see them. And I'm going to tell you what, the world rubbed off on them. And they began to integrate the fashions of the world, the feast of the world, the folly of the world. And before you knew it, they were down and degraded. And God began to judge them. And it was all because that they looked at themselves and didn't keep their eyes on the one that had made them the way they were. Oh my, that's a great, 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 great disaster. In verse 2, Son of Man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. You know what that means? He said, preacher, get up there and tell them what kind of shape they're in. He said, Ezekiel, you go tell them they're in trouble and tell them why. Nobody wants a preacher like that, do they? We want a preacher that'll say, if you'll just give $100, God will give you $1,000 by the end of next week. If you fall for that, I've got a piece of property up there on Lookout Mountain. I'm going to sell you and give you a good deal. Right? See what you can do with it. And say, thus saith the Lord, verse 3, God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is in the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. That means you just came from the heathens. I mean, you came from heathen people. Me and old Ron Plott was down at the Huddle House in Hoax Bluff a few years ago, and we went in there, was it late at night, and it was after a meeting or something, and we went in to eat, and this old gal was our waitress, good old gal. Ron started trying to tell her about the Lord. You know what she said? She said, I know I'm a heathen. My grandma told me I was. We come from the heathen nation. The Gentiles were called dogs. That's what the Hebrews thought about us. That's what the Jews thought about us. As for thy nativity, and the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut. Do you see what happened? I don't want to be too, I don't know. I mean, but you understand the umbilical cord. The baby was left wrapped with its cord just laying on the ground and attached to the baby. That's pitiful shape for a little child to be in, ain't it? And that's exactly what happened with some of those women of whoredom. But I'm going to tell you why. It takes a man to give the woman the opportunity to be a woman of whoredoms. Thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. I just love this. I was looking at this. I didn't even know what the word supple meant, but I do now. They washed that baby. Let's get it exact what it says. Neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Okay, so here it is. Get the water. By the way, did you know that Iran is in water shortage? Do you understand that they can't? They had to cut off public bathrooms, and their water, they have to leave it off for a long time before they can turn it on. They have to let it run 30 minutes before it's drinkable. They're in trouble. You know what Benjamin Netanyahu said? He said, anytime y'all ready to revolt against your tyrannical government and want democracy and want our help, we'll send in the people that know how to get you some water. You see what God's doing to that heathen nation over there? So water to supple thee. Y'all deliver babies. Y'all know what supple means. I'm sure you do. Okay? I didn't. They wash that baby off, and you know what supple means? To examine it. They're just looking all over that baby. Here's what God did to that baby. He cut his cord, I know, and he washed him with water, and he just picked that baby up and just looked him all over. And yeah, examine him. That's what nurses do. And doctor, check that baby out. Make sure it's got all its toes, all that, whatever. You know, check its temperature. Just check it all over. God examines you. You know that. And when he examined us, he got a closer look at us. Here's what he said. He ain't one of mine. He looks like a foreigner. What did they say on Andy Griffith? He said, is he one of us? Hey, ain't God good to us? I just talked to a man, happened to be California, works at, if you ever up there I know you work up there down on it in Fort Payne, but you still do, right? So you go to Walmart, there's this old boy named Boyd. He's probably a little bit taller than me, sort of blonde, old-headed, Larry. He works in there, me and Boyd know each other. He's had 42 foster kids out in California. He's telling me the other day, he said, he built a house, got another house, got a big house. And I said, 42? He said, we have them six at a time. I said, man, that's dedication. He said, they pay me $2,000 a kid a month. Six times, $12,000 a month. I said, was you able to pay your bills? He said, yeah. I ain't going to pay me. I ain't taking it. He said he had to get rough with some of them kids. He said they trained him how to handle problem kids. They trained them how to put them down, not put them out, but put them down, show them who boss was. I mean, they let them do it. Can you imagine them letting them do that in California? I didn't think they did. He said, and my wife, you know, she must be a muscle woman too, because she didn't take no sass off of them. But they loved them. They took them on a trip. They got an RV, took them to Florida and to the beach. And you know, he loved what he was doing. And I was wondering, man, you got a lot of dedication. You sacrificed. And I got thinking, you ain't sacrificed $12,000 a month. Look them over. Rebellious child. I don't know about you, but I want you to think about, where would you be right now if you had, God had not come by and took care of you? Where would you be? Oh my, let's read on. And as far as the nativity in thy day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee, examined them, thou wast not salted at all. You know what they would do? They would get them babies that are born. Mothers thought this. They thought that after the baby was washed and all of that, I got to keep remembering this word here. This word is, they suppled after they were examined. They took that baby and washed it, suppled it, looked it over, and then they got salt. And they just rubbed salt all over that baby, just rubbed it in. I see my daddy do that to Ham before. Rub it in. You know what they thought that would do? It would harden their skin. Tanning beds would do the same thing, I believe. But that's what they thought. A lot of crazy things. I mean, do y'all do that? If the mother requests it, do you do it? No salty babies. You sweet little thing, out of my salt, they ought to rub them down with sugar. Wow! Nor swaddled it all. About 8 inches wide cloth, about 8 foot long. And they will wind that baby up in that, and that baby would be just like this. And they thought that if they would do that, its limbs would be straight. They might die, but the limbs would be straight. They must have made it. Oh, it's time to unswaddle. You ever see the tops we used to play with? God and Jesus, they said she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You're talking about a straight person. Jesus stood tall and straight. Amen. Amen. None I pity thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born, to the loathing. You see that? To the loathing. What does loathing mean? I'm going to tell you here what it means. It means to regard with horror. Horror. Abhorrence. What did Hillary Clinton call conservatives? What was it? Remember, and everybody says, I'm one. Deplorable. These words are closely tied together. Horrible, deplorable, and abhorrence. People would walk by and they'd say, look at that. That's the way we were. When Jesus found you, you may have thought you was worth saving, but I got news for you. You was worse off than that child laying there helpless. That's how much hope you had, or me too, And to presume upon the righteousness and goodness and beauty of God and look at ourselves as the one and take our eyes off the Redeemer. Oh my! When I saw thee, look here. And when I saw thee, let me read the rest of verse 5. None pitied thee to do any of these things to thee, to have compassion on thee, but thou wast cast in open field to the loath in thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by, I really don't want to skip any of this. I don't want to rush and skip all this. When Jesus passed by, there's a song that says, when Jesus passed by. What about the blind man? And Jesus passed by and was walking on, but the blind man called out for him and he came back. Jesus passed by, he saw us. He saw you before you was born. He saw you before eternity, before the earth was here. He saw you. And when I passed by, saw thee polluted in thine own blood. There's a lot of blood that happens when a baby's born. I mean, a lot of blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, look what he said, live. How much involvement did you have with your salvation? None whatsoever. Now look here, there's two lives here. Yea, I said unto thee, even when thou wast washed in thy blood, live. Two lives. Why? Here's what happens when somebody gets saved. Your spirit is dead. Your spirit is dead. And God quickens your spirit. And he says to your spirit, live. And the spirit stands up within you. Histeme means to stand up. When God saves somebody, the first thing that happens, the Holy Ghost quickens him and his spirit stands up where God can do business with the spirit. See, God is a spirit. God, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and flesh, not in emotion and not in mentality. Although we are happy about being saved, we stand up. That's the first live. That's giving you the opportunity to be saved. You do not have the opportunity to make your spirit stand up alive. God does that. But you're not saved until you say, I'm here, Lord, I'm yours. I'm giving up. I'm trusting you. He gives you the opportunity to trust him. And then he says, live. You're saved. And nobody can make their own spirit stand up to be able to do business with God. It's God's business. It's what God does through his Holy Spirit. He quickens the spirit to make the spirit stand up to be able to be in position to do business with God. And then if we are willing, he'll say, live. And then we're living forever. Eternal life. You cannot bring that event back in your life, friends. You remember when God convicted you? That's when he was dealing with your spirit. Now let's move. I've caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed great, and thou art come to the excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. There it is. There's a young woman developing into a young lady, and it says her hair is grown. And do you understand? I just heard something about hair, a report on hair, and you understand that hair goes through a process, that it starts growing, and it goes three or four processes in hair until you lose it, and another one's coming in behind it. And they got to the point to where their hair, you see anybody, just their blotches of hair, not, you know, it's just terrible. And God says, you were there and you couldn't even grow hair. You couldn't even be beautiful. But I've made you beautiful. I made you grow up and develop. Now look, here it is. He said again, verse 8, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee. So he passed by, he saw him. He passed by and looked. You know, to see something is one thing, but he looked. He just looked more in depth. He looked you over. God did. Are you realizing God looked at you? The one that made this universe took time to stop And look at you. You ever think about that? You ever think about what did God see in you? All it was love. For God so loved the world. There was nothing else that invited Him and gave Him occasion to look at us other than He just loved us. There was no reason for Him to look at us. Repulsive. Deplorable. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, thy time was the time of love. He said, it's your time. And I spread my skirt over thee. That's the cover. Protect that thy covered thy neck and yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest what? Mine. Mine. Do you know that the power of adoption is more stronger than the power of a natural birth? The laws are more stronger for an adopted child than it is for a child that's naturally born. And we've been adopted into the beloved. Then I washed thee with water. 30, washed thee thy, away thy blood. And I anointed thee with oil. That's the Holy Ghost of God. I clothed thee also with broidered work. Shod thee with badger skins. I girded thee about fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I also decked thee also with ornaments. And I put bracelets upon thine hands and a chain in thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Sounds like a princess, don't it? Thou wast decked with gold and silver. Thy raiment was of fine linen, silk, and bordered work. Thou didst eat fine flying honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful. See, there's the development of the child. You don't feed a child, a baby, honey. That child's growing up and receiving and seeing the benefits and blessings of God. Exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. You see, the world saw her beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness. You know what? When you first got saved, I don't want to say it's perfect, but it sort of felt like it's perfect, didn't it? When you first got saved, I mean, you're so clean. I mean, so innocent after you got saved. What about now? What about now? Which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. But, 15, thou didst trust in thine own beauty, played the harlot. Got in trouble. You can read these verses later on if you want to. Verse 27 says, behold, therefore, I have stretched out mine hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. I'm going to tell you why. When the Philistines are ashamed of somebody, they got to be pretty low. And you know the most degrading thing you can see out in this world is a person that's a believer that's out of the will of God and backslid, sitting at a bar or in a honky-tonk or somewhere they shouldn't ought to be, and they're supposed to be a Christian. Let me tell you, the righteous don't want to be around them, apparently, and the world don't want them. They don't fit in anywhere. Verse 28, thou hast played the whore. Verse 29, thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication. It's getting worse. Verse 32, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Go to 45. Thou art my mother, thy mother's daughter, thou loatheth her husband, that loatheth her husband. And her children. What? Here's another word that I didn't know what means, but I know what it means now. He said, this person is loathing her husband and her children. That's how far down they got. Loathing. I already told you what it means. It means to regard with horror. It means to actually come to the place to look at this now. Look at this. Here's the condition. See, first of all, that baby cast was loathed by the people that went by. Now it's in the family. It's this woman that was once, it's this person that was once a Christian, once living for God, and they presumed on their own beauty. I just read last night that there's a saying in the Latin or something. It's like, and I can't say the words, but I can translate it to English, and it says that beauty and what's the word? Beauty, and give me just a minute. It's beauty and what's the good word for goodness? It's the good word. It's for purity. It's not purity, but beauty and goodness don't dwell close together, usually dwell close together. And there's another word. Yeah, that'll work. They don't hardly work together because, see, if you look in the mirror too much, you're going to get away from God. If you look in, oh, look at me. Yeah, God, I got to get me another hairdo. I got to get that latest beauty cream. And yeah, I'm going to tell you what's crazy. I saw a picture of a young man the other day. I mean, she's got the Facebook thing, and I won't call no names since nobody in here, but here's a young man, he's maybe 30 years old. He's got him a new haircut, and he's gone. What kind of guy wants to show everybody his new haircut? Here's what it means. She looked at her husband, and this is putting it in our words, loatheth. She don't say, I loatheth you. She says, I can't stand to look at you. And then she looked at her children, and she might say, I regret the day you was born. I can't stand to look at you. How good is God? He's our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Father. As a cast bird out of the nest, as a cast child. Verse 48, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Why? She said, people in Sodom have not done what you've done, and I'm involving your daughters with you because they followed in your footsteps. And it can be very easily translatable to men, not just women. Fifty-nine. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. What do you mean? What do we start out with? There's the Palestinian covenant. They went into a wicked land. They destroyed. Their job was to destroy all the wickedness in Canaan and take the land. But you know what they did? They integrated with them. He said, you broke my covenant, and because you broke my covenant, you're paying for it. You're paying for it. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm for cleaning up our cities, ain't you? For somebody to shoot somebody in the chest on the subway, and then the judge just gives them some kind of public service work and lets them go to some kind of counseling. If they do an adult sin, they need to be charged with an adult sin. But look at this, verse 16. Nevertheless, this is God. Nevertheless, I'm going to say, in spite of all this, God said, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth. He said, I'm going to remember the covenant that we made together, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Now there's the other side, an everlasting covenant of the eternal covenant, of the non the contract, which decide just one party signs that says, "I'm going to do this. I don't care what you're going to do. I'm making an everlasting covenant." This is where grace overrides waywardness. "Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters." The sisters, Israel is the woman. The sisters is the Gentile nations. "We've been in the same shape they're in, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant, but my covenant. I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know I'm the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded." And look at this, "and never open thy mouth anymore because of thy shame, when I'm pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord." He said, look, when I'm done chastening you, and I'm bringing you back in spite of your waywardness, and that's what's going to happen in the end with Israel, and that's what's going to happen in the end with you when you're glorified. He said, "I don't want you to open your mouth." Now, what it means is we live with the way we live. Now, I don't want to read too much into this. I like that song that said, "My sins are gone." God said, I sat and listened for years down here at prayer break at work day. Matter of fact, next Saturday we need to have a work day. Need to be here about between 7 and 8 o'clock. I remember that now. Work day next Saturday. But we'd have work day down here, and I'd hear people say, "Man, if I had a cigarette 8 foot long, I'd smoke it right now." I heard them talk about how they got drunk and rode the roads around here. How many times they had wrecks, how many fights they've been in. I got tired of hearing that. I went to my men and I said, "Look, I got my three boys here, and I don't want them hearing you glorify the way you used to live. And you just keep your mouth shut." And I was talking to men. You say, "You're some kind of fan." Well, these guys are old enough to be my daddy. I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you what. Somebody's got to be the pastor. And I don't want my kids or my grandkids hearing it. Just don't even open your mouth. You know what that does? You know what that does when you just have to say, soak it in, and "Lord, I know I've done this, but you've restored me, and I didn't have nothing to do with you. You got satisfied with my chastisement. Now I'm back, and I'm standing up, and I'm being blessed." And God said, just don't open your mouth about the past. Let's move forward. Amen. Let's stand. Don't you, again, I want you to think about it. Where would you be if God hadn't passed by? Where would you be on your own to be blessed like you've been blessed if God hadn't picked you up? Cut the cord. Amen. Suppled you, looked you over, washed you up. Wash your own blood that you were soaking and dying in the hot sun on the side of a deserted hillside. The psalmist says, "When my mother and my father forsake me, I will take thee up. I will take thee up." Where would you be? You ought to give praise to God. You didn't make it on your own. You didn't do anything to save you or to bless you. God's blessed you. You ought to get rid of your pride and give glory to God this morning. Don't look at you, but look at Him. Look at Him. There's an old song. It just kept ringing through my land. About 11 o'clock last night, just kept echoing in my mind. And I wish I knew all the words. It goes something like, "Turn back the pages of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human And humans forget, so remind me, dear Lord. Do you remember that? You know that song?